Because I am here with the Comedy Sports folks. Let's go around and introduce and just say who you are and what you do at Comedy Sports. We'll start with you.
Sure. My name is Nicole Devitt. I perform. I'm one of the ensemble members, I guess roster players, as we were supposed to call it for branding.
We'll get into that, what that means, because
yes,
it's a different kind of improv.
It is, and I also head the International Diversity and Inclusion Committee for the league.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, sir.
Hello, I'm Ron Grabowski. I just messed up my own name. I just stumbled over my tongue, fought with my teeth there.
That's okay,
for a moment.
Who
am I?
Made up words.
That happens.
Yeah.
Let me check. I'm Rob Grabowski. Thank you, everyone. I appreciate it. Good night. I'm an ensemble member. What are we called?
roster player.
Okay. I'm a roster. I didn't know that. I just thought ensemble.
Okay.
I'm a roster player.
Nicole, Rob.
Yes.
Got it.
And I'm Patrick Conley. I'm
nailed
the artistic
it.
Director of the CSZ Theater Chicago.
Okay.
And the head coach of Comedy Sports Chicago.
Big wig. We got a big wig.
I'm very important and very fancy.
Great. It's good to tell people that right off the bat. Mm-hmm. Like, when I meet people, I'm like, I'm very unimportant and I'm not fancy. So I like that you're really, you know, owning it.
Yeah, I like to set the context to all of my conversations.
Great. Like that. Yeah. Perfect. Thank you, Patrick. Yes?
Well, I guess I'm coming in at the right time in this conversation. My name is Terrence Rogers Jr., and I am also a roster member or ensemble roster
player. Roster player.
We're all learning this today.
Exactly.
We're learning together. It's a team effort.
Okay. And that's it. I don't have wonderful titles or anything like that.
And that's all I do. So one of you talented people. And I don't care if you trip over your names or anything else. Tell me, what is Comedy Sports?
Oh, our AD should do it.
Yes, the fancy guy should tell us.
Well, Comedy Sports has been performing in Chicago for the last 30 years. It's a show where comedy is played as a sport. We have two teams of comedians who face off in a match with challenges of characters and songs and games, with a referee controlling all the action, for audience votes, laughter, applause, and, of course, bragging rights.
So here is what I like about Comedy Sports.
Mm-hmm.
All ages. And yep. I'll tell you why. I have nieces.
Oh, sure.
And a nephew. And I am an actor and a writer. And they always want to see my stuff. Oh, they can't see my stuff because it's not for them. And so they're like, Tia, they call me Tia. I'm Colombian. They say, Tia, when can we go see something? I'm like, Comedy Sports. It is one of the only funny shows that kids can go to. Mm. That's comedy.
Yeah.
And I think the nice thing about our show, you know, I have a lot of friends who are like, oh, I wish you guys would do a blue show. And for a while we ran a blue show, which is a more adult themed show.
Blue means they say naughty things.
Exactly.
Naughty words like this. No.
I almost had a heart attack.
How awful would that be?
That would be awful, but it has happened many times.
I
have to dump him.
Yeah.
But I would always tell them, you want to actually come see one of our regular matches because it is funnier than our blue show.
Yeah.
Because we are trying harder to make you laugh. And there's always something, you know, I think people hear, oh, all ages, oh, kids show. Kids can see it. It is not a kid's show.
No, it is not a children's theater.
No.
I have a swearing story. I had a solo show that I wrote, and one of my, I don't think he's a friend. I hate when people call celebrities friends. He's an acquaintance, Jeff Garland.
Oh, name dropper. Okay.
It's important to the story,
it's important,
Rob.
To the story.
I know Alex Moffat. Okay, cool.
I don't know who that is.
No one does. It's all right.
Okay. Camille does.
Oh.
Yeah, SNL, right?
Yeah.
We're best friends. We get lunch
she's
all the
time. She's in their best friends.
Oh.
We get lunch all the time.
Oh.
She's joking.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, she's got me.
So I did the solo show, and Jeff came to see it in at a dress rehearsal, and I was swearing a blue streak. And he said, do you want notes? And I was like, oh, not really. I mean, I hate notes, but I'll take them. And he said, you swear way too much, and it reminds – one, it was a compliment. He said, you remind me of Robin Williams. And I was like, that's cool.
Great.
And he was like, but I knew when Robin – I think he called him Robin. I don't know if they were friends. I have no idea. But he said when Robin was nervous and not feeling confident on his game, he would throw the F-bombs around like nobody's business. And that's what you're doing. And he was right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to hear that because I thought swearing was really cool, but he was right. I was using language that was, you know, foul to cover up the fact that I was not as confident in my, because I wrote the show, in my writing that as I needed to be. It was a brilliant note. And I've since then, I'm like, why am I swearing? Am I swearing to be funny? Or is it, you know, and I look, a swear word peppered here and there, fine. But if a comedian for me or a performer is relying on foul language to tell their story, we got a problem.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
But some people, I guess some people like that. In any case, back to the story at hand. You guys have been around for 30 years. I thought 20. 30 is a long time.
I know.
And how long have you, Patrick Fancy Pants, been the artistic director?
I have been the artistic director of the CSC Theater Chicago, Home of Comedy School Chicago, for the last 18 months.
I thought you were going to say years. And no. I was like, well, you started when you were three. Which was awesome.
Pretty much.
So 18 months.
Yeah, I just started January 1st, 2016.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It's been a fantastic journey. Absolutely terrifying.
He's doing a good job.
You must be doing a good job. Because you guys have your stuff together. I've seen shows, and they're great. So you're all doing a good job.
Yeah.
We did it. It's over. How are you going to do it?
3 years. Close the door.
Close the doors.
One of the things that makes it kind of easy to do the job is this is a show that's been, having been around for, how long has Comedy Sports been around?
I believe this is the 34th year for Comedy Sports worldwide. Yeah. It started in Milwaukee, Wisconsin in 1984. Uh-huh. So if my math is right, is it 33 years? 34 years.
34 years.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean,
checks out.
It's really must be easier to do your job when you have really good people around you.
Absolutely.
Right?
I took a vacation a couple months ago and was out of the country for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And spent like 2 or 3 days being absolutely panicked, and then got like a couple of emails from folks, and it was just like, oh, good, they don't need me. Oh, no, they don't need me.
Right. We are here with the folks from Comedy Sports, great folks, and we are going to continue to rock out with them. And I'm here until 11, and we're going to be talking things comedy. And we're also, I want to do the interview game.
We have a game.
Okay. I'm super excited. But we're going to take a little break and we'll be back. This is Jen B filling in for Justin Kaufman here on WGN 720 AM. But right now, I am in studio joined by folks from Comedy Sports on Belmont. You happen to be on Belmont. What's the exact address?
929 West Belmont, Chicago, Illinois, 60657.
Official.
Send us postcards. Are you still up top?
Yeah, yes. We're up on the second floor.
So you're still there.
If you ever wanted to see theater above ground level, this is your chance.
Yeah.
Find the old American Apparel and then go
upstairs.
That's
right. Yep. So what's there now since
America? Nothing.
Nothing.
Just an empty storefront.
Yeah.
Next to an empty yogurt store.
Okay. So maybe I'll open up something.
Oh, yeah.
It's called the old American Apparel.
Old apparel.
Old apparel.
Old apparel.
Started or just used
a
with a side of yogurt.
Yeah.
Right on that.
Started Comedy Sports Apparel.
Yes. Ooh, merch. Merch.
Comedy Sports and Shorts. I'm trying to tell you guys. It sells itself.
So tell me about how, anyone can tell me about how Comedy Sports was started. Does anyone know this answer?
Oh, yes, I do.
Okay.
So Comedy Sports was started in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. It came out of a workshop that also spawned something called Theater Sports. And a man in Wisconsin named Dick Chudnow, who's still around, he was at our World Championship just this past weekend, started a comedy group. And it was essentially just a group of people who they all thought each other was funny. And they're like, hey, why don't we do these improv games in front of people, and we wear red and blue shirts because that's the color that most people had in their closets. I asked them one time, and that's legitimately why they were red and blue. It's just because most people had a red shirt and most people had a blue shirt.
Right.
And they started, and they moved a couple times. They were at a place called Cults in Milwaukee, which is no longer open, and then moved to their own space. And through that, a couple other people, Jeff Kramer, who runs San Jose, which is where I just was, Pat Short, who runs Portland, a bunch of these guys were all together, and they moved to different cities and each started their own little Comedy Sports.
Wow. And what was the idea? The idea was we want to do blank. Like
we want to make people laugh. That literally, there was nothing more than just we want to entertain people and we want to make people laugh.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
I love it. Because it's not like, you know, we have this sort of quirky, new, fangled, you know, whatever. It just took, that's, I like simple missions.
Yeah.
I'm a simple mission kind of a gal.
Yep.
What do you want to do? I want to live and not die today.
Hey, like that's not bad.
You know
it's
what
not
I
bad.
Mean?
Well,
what's
it's
your vision for this popcorn stand? I want people to eat popcorn.
Right. Mm-hmm. You might as well. You might as well just keep it simple. So that's how it started. Yep. I did not know this in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
I like Milwaukee.
It's a great
Milwaukee's
town.
Great.
It's a great town.
I lived there for 20 years.
You
did? Started playing, which is why I know more
you
than
know
the average
history.
Bear
yes.
on the history of it.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so that's how it was started, and I'd like to know why, I'm going to go to each person.
Oh.
Why did you, we'll actually start on this side.
Oh. Parents go first. I would love to hear this, actually.
Why did you start, well, there's it's twofold.
Okay.
And we're going to get you with the twofold. One, how did you know you wanted to make people laugh?
Okay.
How did you get involved with comedy sports?
Wonderful.
They kind of go hand in hand there.
I think I knew I wanted to make people laugh, or I knew I wanted to, like, entertain when I was a kid who was obsessed with Barney. And they're all laughing right now because now that I've said it, they can see it.
Yeah, I actually can see it, too.
Uh-huh.
I just met you.
I am a very just jolly purple dinosaur. And it's just, like, the theatrical feel to it, but also the warm feeling and, like, the funny, like, all that was just, as a kid, I was like, I need it now. And I got into my comedy journey in Chicago during high school. There was a program, there is a program called After School Matters.
Yes, anyway, I taught there for a very brief time.
Oh, really? What program?
I was part of the writing.
Gotcha. So, I saw the fall semester class of improv do a show at my high school.
Which high school is this?
Uplift Community High School.
Okay.
It's on Wilson and Hazel.
I know where that is.
Uh-huh. And I saw them do a show for us, like, at an after-school program thing. And I was like, I want that. I want
you
to
do it.
I want to do that now. And I had a dope teacher at the time. Her name was Katie Thomas, who is now one of the writers and stars of Teachers on TV Land.
Yeah, Matt Miller situation. He produced a pop.
Yeah.
Cap.
Dude.
Cap. Pop.
Shout out to Matt Miller. That guy's great.
He's great.
I hope he's listening.
I hope he is, too. His auditions are the most fun.
Because I'll never say this again about him.
And to make a long story short, in After School Matters, we also, as well as learning the craft, we also went to see shows. And the first professional show that I saw of improv was a comedy
That's
sketch show.
That's amazing.
Nice.
So it came all full circle after getting on the ensemble and crying like the biggest baby in the world.
So how did you, did you start taking classes? And then how did you make your journey from watching shows at Comedy Sports to being a, let's see, what did we say, a team?
Roster. Rooster.
Team rooster.
Team rooster.
Team rooster.
Team rooster. Team rooster. Absolutely.
Oh,
rooster prayer.
I'm almost having a heart attack right now.
I've been just really fortunate to meet a lot of really dope people along the way. So I did 3 years of it in high school. Made it my life in college, and then...
Where did you go to school?
University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign.
So, I have to tell you about that. I come from a long line of people that went to that school, and I also, some of the best actors in the city, your Julian Parkers, your... who else went there? Tyrone Phillips, who did... Anyway, they are some of my favorite actors in the city went to U of I.
It's a great program.
Great.
I was not an acting major.
Doesn't matter. It's a great program.
So I made it my life there. I graduated in 2016.
Oh my gosh, I'm such a mother.
So this 30-year anniversary, I was not born
please,
for seven.
Please be quiet.
Okay,
let's not run
down. I have made an enemy of everyone in this
room.
No. I feel like you did.
Yeah.
We're good. Sorry. Yeah, we're good.
Was it good?
Oh, man. Yeah.
And just made it my life there. Auditioned. I interned one summer when I came home. Took out so much comedy sports trash, like the literal trash of comedy sports.
Yes, I've been there.
And got on the roster. Pat called, and then like 1 p.m. and I was in my bed, just like, oh my god.
Were you so happy?
Oh.
You cried.
It was an ugly cry.
But that's such the best cry. Mm-hmm. When you finally have got, I'm tearing up. When you finally have gotten something that you've worked so hard for, mm-hmm. and to be, regardless of what people say, it is nice to be validated and for someone to say, hey, we've seen the hard work that you put in. We value you. Come be a part of something. That is the best feeling in the world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They said, come be on WGN. And I was like, yes, I will.
Yeah,
but it's a similar thing of like being recognized for this thing that you've been practicing basically for years and finally feeling like, oh, I belong. I belong here. Mm-hmm. And I get to do what I love with people that are really cool. Anyway, I'm living vicariously through your
That's exactly what I feel on a day-to-day basis. That and just like the dumbest jokes that I can make. Like those two things are just who I am as a person.
That is a fantastic life. That sounds awesome. Making the dumbest jokes I can make with cool people. Mm. Why not? Patrick, your turn.
Oh, gosh.
How did you get... We did a very short segue. How did you get involved?
In comedy sports or in laughter altogether?
Well, first, it's a twofold, just like his question. Yeah. First, how did you know you wanted to be involved with comedy? Second, how did you get involved with comedy sports?
Back in middle school.
Lord,
yeah,
here we go.
We did an adaptation of Midsummer Night's Dream for an English class project.
Okay.
We had to take it's the worst writing project I've ever been involved in, which, you know, I'm not going to go easy on 12-year-old me. But it was, we had to take a modernized version of A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Okay, which is one of my favorite plays that the old Shakespeare has written.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's hilarious.
It's pretty good.
But we had to retranslate it back into what we as middle schoolers imagined the original Shakespearean Elizabethan era dialogue would have been. And then perform it as a touring production for the other schools in our area.
That sounds terrifying and awesome.
Oh, it was a nightmare.
And
And it was a
Midsummer Dream's nightmare, more like.
Points.
No, but that's how you were. Were you puck?
I was bottom.
Oh.
You were bottom.
And I was so terrified. I was absolutely. Just like beside myself, flop sweat during rehearsals, and then we did our first show. And for some reason, I decided that the only way that I was going to make it through it was to just emote as much as possible.
Yes.
So my very first line out of the gate was like, "It's me."
Yes.
And I
know that line.
Oh,
you really drew it out there.
The odious flowers.
Sweet. You sound like Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah, it's great. So that's how we need to take a break.
Yeah.
But on that note, on the we're going to take a break. I'm here at the Comedy Sports, folks. We're going to take a little break and come back because I really want to hear how you progress from bottom to all the way to the top. Good evening. This is Jen B. I'm filling in here until 11 for Justin Kaufman, and then Patty Vasquez comes in. She will be in studio. But until then, I'm here with the comedy sports peoples.
Yay!
Yay. And I'm having such a good time. And I was just talking to Patrick, who happens to be the Fancy Pants artistic director. And also, you had a longer title. What else was the title? Oh, coach?
The head coach
head
of Comedy
coach
Sports Chicago.
Of
artistic director of CSZ Theater Chicago.
Exactly.
Now, business card takes up a ton of cost in printing.
That's okay.
Just the ink alone.
That's okay, but you're fancy. They need to do it for you. So why don't you tell me, so we got a little bit about your bottom experience.
If you're just tuning in.
That's not what I meant. I meant, what's his, I was going to say, what is Bottom's first name? Does he have one?
Oh, that is his first name.
Oh, okay, great.
I don't think they ever say what his last name is.
I was going to say John Bottom.
No, it's Nick Bottom.
That's John.
Nicholas Bottom.
Yes.
Nicholas Bottom. Take that.
Is that from Harry Potter? I was 12 years old when I did that show.
So you realized that emoting was funny.
Oh, yeah. I realized that all I had to do was just panic, and I would get laughs. And it seemed to work for a while. But I ended up going to college for theater. I ended up at the University of Florida, and I was going to be a super serious actor. And during some professor's lecture, I wrote down, meet at this time at this place. And I didn't write down what it was, and it turned out to be University of Florida's improv group, Theater Strike Force. So I showed up, and it was insane and terrifying. And for the second time in my life, I had this horrible moment of panic. went up on stage, spouted I don't know what.
Right.
Got huge laughs and realized, oh, this is another way that I can accidentally make people think I'm brilliant.
You know, I have to, when we are flawed intensely, I am. I mean, I'll speak for myself. There is something refreshingly hilarious about that. If someone is still willing to do the thing, even though they know they're flawed.
Oh, yeah.
If they're flawed and it becomes self-conscious to the point of this is very uncomfortable for everyone involved. And let's. But there's something just so freeing about when someone, like when you tripped over your name. There is something very freeing about it. It's like we all make mistakes. I have had plenty of troubles in that area. Like I went to the theater school at DePaul, and when I graduated, I thought I was going to be a big star, and they flew me to New York to do an audition for a soap opera.
Oh.
And it sounded like a great plan on my way to becoming famous, and got there, and you know, you have to slate, you have to say your name. We all know, you know, for those people who don't know, you just say, hi, I'm Jen Bosworth, and whatever. So I get up there, I'm really nervous, of course. I'm 20 years old, and I say, hi, I'm Ben Josworth.
Oh, no.
And I start to laugh because it's ridiculous. They are not laughing.
Oh, no.
No one's laughing.
Oh.
But you know what I learned? I did not die. I thought I was going to die.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that that is important. It is like we can live through very painful stuff as human beings, and we still, and once that happened, I thought, okay, I'm going to be all right, because this was horrible. We all bomb on stage. It just happens.
Sure.
And bomb in life. I mean, you know, on first date, whatever, the job interviews. But the point is that we keep going. Like, if you had emoted when you were, you know, 12 and thought, oh, people are laughing at me, I hate this, you would never have done it again. And then the world would have missed out on Patrick's talent.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that you know, even though you were nervous, we still do it. We keep going.
Failure is how we learn. I tell my 101 students that.
Yeah. That's failure is the best, because you live through it and you're like, oh, this isn't, I mean, it's bad. It feels really bad in the moment, right?
Oh, sure.
But then you just are like, yeah. So how did you end up, back to the twofold question?
Well, I've been performing in Chicago for many, many years. And actually, the very first audition I ever had in Chicago back in 2001, October, was for Comedy Sports at an old space that's now been demolished and turned into a golf pro shop. Went into the space. I was so excited. Walked in and did, to this day, the worst audition I've ever had in my entire life.
Was it for the team?
Yeah, it was for the team. To be a roster player.
Okay.
At the time, just called it performer.
Right.
I went up, and it was just a nightmare from beginning to end. Did not make it. It took me 10 more years to come back and audition again a second time.
Wow. But you did it. Came back, Patrick. Mm-hmm. That's really all that matters.
That's the important thing.
Yep. And now you're the head coach.
You're the head coach.
You're the top rooster.
And Pat and I had our audition together.
That's right.
Our callbacks, we did a scene together.
Mm-hmm. 10 years later, after the big...
Yes. Not the first time.
It's a big catastrophe, if we want to call it that. Well, congratulations for making it back. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
A lot of people are like, you know what? Never again. Never again. Mm-hmm. And I respect that, too. But if you got the drive, you got to keep going.
Oh, yeah. Well, and for me, I actually had kind of said, like, oh, no, I'm going to perform at other places. And I did other shows at other theaters. And then I ended up on a cruise ship dancing with a drag queen in Hairspray the Musical. And the person who helped us install the show, one of the people involved, worked for Comedy Sports Chicago and said, why don't you come back and give us another shot?
And I like the way they said that.
And I auditioned again, and they did not cast me that year either.
Okay, this is getting sad.
The following year, finally, I got to do a scene with Nicole, and by proxy, they thought I was good enough to cast in the cast.
I just want to hear more about you being Edna's husband.
Yeah. Oh, it was great. I've had to play...
For those of you who don't know, it's Hairspray the Musical.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
And you played Edna's husband.
Wilbur Turnblad. But they didn't have enough cabins for a full cast, so I also had to play five other characters.
Oh, my God.
gosh.
It was 12 costume changes in 90 minutes.
Holy cow.
Yeah, it was the sweatiest show I've ever done.
Yes. Gross.
And then you did comedy sports and got even sweatier.
Yeah.
So that, okay, so I now it is your turn, my friend Rob.
Okay. What were the questions?
The questions, they're twofold.
Yes, twofold. I'm sorry. So I guess I got into comedy and stuff. I did, I was a bit of a shy kid. And to get over that, my mom made me take theater camp just to, like, get in front of people. And through that, I kind of figured out, if I do maybe this thing, I get people to laugh at me. I'll try more of that. And I kind of discovered that more in high school and plays. I didn't do improv till I came to Chicago. I went to school for theater, Central Michigan, Fire Up Chips. I went there for theater and everything. And then right as I was a senior leaving, this other guy started an improv group there, and I started playing a little bit. When I came here, I went to Second City first, and I went, I could do that. I should try this. And then blah, blah, yada, 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 yada. Some summer, they were holding auditions for the house teams at Comedy Sports. I'm like, I'll try. And then I just kind of got wrapped into it. It's a very hokey show, but I have so much fun doing it.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, I like simple hokey show.
Totally, yeah.
It's my jam.
I don't mean hokey in a bad way at all. Yeah,
it's
Thank you.
I really don't.
But it is, though. But it's not bad. It's a hokey thing, but it's fun.
It is hokey in the way that, say, for me, Elaine Stritch is hokey. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Kind of like...
Totally, yeah.
I'll take that.
Very talented hokey.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Like, my father's a smart guy. He'll come see me do shows, but he'll see me at another theater where we do a certain form, and he won't understand it fully. But then he'll come see me at Comedy Sports. Like, this is great. I love this. This is fantastic. And I just think it's for the people who don't really know what improv is. They can kind of enjoy it and understand it quicker, you know, if that makes sense.
Yes, that makes perfect sense. And then, so you just auditioned for the house?
I just auditioned for the house team. And then when ensemble auditions came around, or rot, whatever they're called.
we went through branding last year. That's why there's still learning the new terms.
I made one thing that was called, it no longer exists, but called Battle Prov, which is kind of like minor leagues of Comedy Sports. I did that for a year, auditioned again, did not get placed. So I went, all right, I'm done. So I took a year off, and then when auditions came around again, I was like, you know what? I'll try one more time. And then I got cast. I think that was 2014, 15?
2014 sounds right.
Yeah. That sounds right. Yeah.
Okay. I know it wasn't my decision.
No.
You were not in charge.
No, you were not there yet.
Pat wants to fire me.
Oh, after that,
let's have it not happen on air.
Right? Jeez.
Because that would be real awkward.
Yeah.
I'd be like, all right.
Yes.
Here we are.
Hello, we're back.
You're back. Tell us about you told us a little bit about your Milwaukee situation, but that was sort of, tell us about how you got into comedy in the first place.
Sure. So my story is actually the reverse of everyone else's, is that I got into doing comedy because of Comedy Sports. When I was very young, I remember telling my parents the first thing I ever wanted to be was a singer, and they said, oh no, you can never do that.
Oh.
So I was pretty much shut down from doing creative things in my youth. Like I was in choir and I would do the musicals and stuff, but I was always terrified to sing in front of people after that. It was a big fear I had to get over. When I lived in Milwaukee, as I mentioned, it started in Milwaukee, so everybody knew about Comedy Sports. Everybody had seen Comedy Sports. It's a smaller town. There's not a lot to do. There's certainly no other comedy. Maybe now there's a few other theaters, but at the time there was nobody else doing it. And I was going through a divorce, and I had wanted to do something for me. And I was like, you know, I'd always seen Comedy Sports. I've always seen to take classes. I'm just going to take classes for fun. I was literally just doing it for fun.
Best way.
And at the end of my level one class, they made me the designated jokester for the class show.
What
does
that mean?
That means you play for both teams.
Oh.
Do with that what you will. But that means that I was playing for the red team and I was playing for the blue team. So I was on stage more than anyone else. And I asked my teacher, I was like, why did you make me the designated jokester? And he's like, because you're good at this. And I had no idea. I was really just doing it to have something for me. So I went through all the classes there. And in Milwaukee, it's a little different. There's not an audition process. It's one day, Dick just says, you should probably just start calling your schedule in. Okay. And at the time, he also was running the Madison shows. Madison used to have a Comedy Sports as well. So the newer players would travel by van to Madison and do shows in the back of a Pizza Hut, which is where they were.
Fantastic.
Yep.
Fantastic.
And then, come back.
Did you get leftover pizza during the show?
We did get leftover pizza. We always smelled like Pizza
Hut.
We had it in the van.
That's great.
Excellent.
Yeah, so I started there in 2004. And I played there, and then I eventually moved to Chicago. And I also did not get in on my first audition into Chicago Comedy Sports, even though I was in the family. And I was a little more bitter about it than anyone else, and I took a few years off, and I did other stuff around the city and enjoyed it, and it was fine. And then I also had somebody from the current, at the time, current ensemble come up to me, or leadership, and said, we need more strong women in this building, and I would really like for you to come back and audition.
Wow.
And so I did, and I did that fabulous scene with Pat, and they thought through watching him that I was really good.
Oh, you guys are great.
And so I've been here ever since.
Wow. Yeah. And why don't you guys tell me what happens during... Oh, we need to take a break. I'm just blabbing.
No,
blabbing.
No break.
No, come
we
on.
We go through.
No, we're going to take a break.
Don't
no.
blame me. Blame she said don't blame her.
I'll blame the sponsors. Yeah, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk a little bit more with the Comedy Sports folks. This is Jen B. I'm filling in here for Justin Kaufman on WGN 720 AM. This is Jen B. I'm here filling in for Justin Kaufman until 11 when Patty Vasquez comes in, and she will be here with you. But until then, I'm here wrapping up with the good folks at Comedy Sports. And we're talking about improv. We're talking about what Comedy Sports is and how it's different, I would say, from other
yes.
improv
oh, yeah.
Shows in the city. And why don't you tell me why... We talked a little bit about the all-ages thing, but what else makes it different? Someone wanted...
I think Chicago is very much a long-form city.
Why don't you tell us what that is?
Long-form is where you get a group of maybe about 8 to 10 people. They get a suggestion, and then they just kind of do this, I'm going to say an artsy kind of form of just trying to figure it out, which will involve scenes and maybe some gimmick stuff. But sometimes it can, sometimes it's just long.
Sometimes it's just long. It lives up to the name.
Yeah. But the Herald is a big thing that was founded here in the city and like influenced a lot of things, especially when it came around. Whereas Comedy Sports is very, it's short form, which is just mostly games and silly things. I think people, I hate to use this comparison, but it's like Whose Line Is Anyway? Mm-hmm. I think as a lot of people compare it to that.
Which I love.
It's a great show. Yeah. It's a fantastic show. But that's what I think the main difference is. Like, we do try it in some, like, actual scene work and acting, but on top of that, we have these games where you have to sing at any moment or, like, switch a new character, just all that stuff. So you always have to be more on your toes, I feel, with that.
Yeah, I feel like when I watch it, it is more, yeah, spontaneous is kind of a word
yeah,
that
yeah,
comes
yeah.
to
and
mind.
And I'm not trying to
poop on the Herald. There's room for everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't poop
yeah.
on Herald.
I do it on a weekly basis.
I think, too, one of the things, and this is something that my dad has told me and something my mom has told me and something that I experienced when I got booed by a room full of kindergartners that you get really caught up in the competition of the show
totally.
Because the feel of the show makes you believe that these two teams are actually competing when really we're just like a giant family on stage having fun together. But you get very invested in the red or blue team.
Everyone likes a game, a competition.
People are like,
I will win.
Yeah.
Even if it's like a little plastic frog you're winning, it doesn't matter. Even if it's nothing, you win. You're like, I will win for the sake of winning.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to win. But it's fun.
It's so fun.
We have a couple anthems that we sing at the World Championships. And one of them, it says, we play to win, but we don't care if we lose.
Yes.
Like, we play to have that competitive element, but at the end of the day, as long as the loyal fans have enjoyed the show, then we're all good.
The other thing that I noticed is that when I see, and like we said, there's room for all kinds
Absolutely.
Of stuff in the
yeah,
city.
Yeah.
But what I really sort of attracted me to Comedy Sports, too, was that there is a sense of sharing the room with the audience, and it is not an us versus them. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when I'm watching long form, I feel like they are the improvisers are doing it for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, but I'm here
yeah.
and I want to be a part of this.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's not help me, you know, like
yeah.
I feel excluded a little bit.
Yeah,
not everywhere, not all the time.
No,
but that's
absolutely
somehow
not.
I fall into that, and I'm more of a let's all do this together kind of a gal.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're here,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
and seeing this show, and let's have a good time. So, yeah.
And one of our favorite parts of doing Comedy Sports is bringing up our volunteer players. up onto the field. When we get to bring someone who has never been on a stage, who has never been in front of an audience up there, and by the end of it, they're getting a standing ovation from the crowd.
It's a good feeling for everybody.
Oh,
yes.
I mean, and like you were speaking a little to this about people who may not necessarily be actors, improvisers, who are just human beings who want to have a good time, mm-hmm. and then they get transported on stage, right? The volunteers, and it who knows what that's going to spark in them.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, totally.
You know what I mean? Yeah. They could come back and say, I'm taking classes now.
Yep.
Or I have a dream. I've always wanted to be in front of people, but my parents shut me down. Yeah. Someone said I wasn't funny. I got booed off the stage. And you guys are allowing them to sort of rekindle whatever kind of love they might have for performing.
Oh, totally, yeah.
And it's just helpful in life to be able to do that, to be able to stand in front of a group of people, because we have to do that all the time.
What's the old, at a funeral, if you have to give the eulogy, people are more afraid of speaking in front of public than being in the coffin.
Yes. Right?
Yeah,
it's so scary to a lot of people.
Absolutely. Yeah,
and I get that. And I also think that comedy and improv, part of the purpose is to sort of, like we have talked about, alleviate the fear of failing and saying you can't lose.
Because you're going to fail a lot if you do improv. Well, that's just part of the deal.
Or even like going on job interviews.
Oh, yeah.
Some people aren't going to get you like you want you. And that's okay. I think it's feeling okay with making like a fool of yourself, even though you're never a fool of yourself. But like in your head, you're like, I look so dumb. And it's like, not really. And also, so what?
No.
Do you know what I mean? Like, so what? Like, so what? It sort of doesn't matter.
When I teach or coach places, I always say, like, well, we're all going to be stupid today, and we're going to be fine.
Yeah.
The next 2 hours are going to be dumb, and we're going to be okay.
We're going to be okay. I went
safe space.
Yeah, it's a safe space. Yeah, I went in for, a pilot audition.
Jeff Goldblum.
Oh,
pilot.
So red right now.
The point is, I was playing the mother of a child.
Sure.
Okay? This child was a teenager.
Uh-huh.
This actress who was playing the child was petrified.
Oh.
She's shaking. She's got the script.
Oh.
And I said to her, I said, listen. And I didn't get the part either. So we're not. But I said to her, listen, we're not going to die in there. I said, we're going to die one day.
Yeah.
That's part of the deal.
Yeah,
but you and I are going to go in there. We're going to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to do this. And we're going to come out. And we're going to live the rest of our day. And she was like looking at me like this crazy old lady. But the point was, she did say afterwards, you really helped me to feel like this wasn't the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it is. It feels like that sometimes in life. That like these things. And sometimes things are really big. But most of the time, the things we freak out about, one, we have no control, and two, are never as bad as we think. And even if they are, we live through it anyway. So I said to her, take an improv class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you will get practice.
It's helpful.
Being scared, failing, relying on others, making poor choices, getting up again.
And trusting yourself.
Yes. Showing us that part of your brain that changes.
Yep.
Yeah. So I think improv can be way more than just funny.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely. I'm kind of a hippie, kind of a gal. It's healing in a lot of ways to laugh in a room with people and also to be on teams and feel part of a team.
Yeah.
Like you guys, so we have a couple moments left. I want to talk about the exact show form, like the teams and how you pick it and who wins and how that happens. Someone.
Every single night we have two teams. We have our hometown defending team, the Chicago Bosses, facing off against one of our regional teams in red. There's a referee who controls all the action on the field, and through a series of scenic games, of doing musical things, of doing head-to-head eliminations and other competitions, based on the audience's applause and laughter, each team is assigned points until our final round, where we just see which team can come up with the most jokes as fast as they possibly can based on audience suggestions.
That is awesome.
And the winning team gets to take home the Comedy Sports Cup.
Which has never been washed.
Never.
Oh, it's so 30 dirty.
Years.
Has never 30 been
years of funk.
Yeah. 30 years of funk. I like it. That could be so, your anniversary.
Why is that our tagline?
It should. Your slogan. Are we having that for our slogan for our anniversary?
We are now.
It's my well, yeah.
Well, thank you, guys. Thank you for being here.
Well, thank you.
How can we find out information all about you?
Oh, we are at CSZChicago.com. That's C as in comedy, S as in sports, Z as in Chicago.com.
And you're having a big thing in August.
Yes, August 17th through 19th, we have our 30th anniversary celebration, celebrating 30 years of comedy sports, bringing last year to Chicago. We're going to have a special gala night on Friday, August the 18th. That's going to include a cocktail reception, an after party, a documentary premiere about Comedy Sports Chicago, oh, and some special guests from Comedy Sports history over the years.
Thank you guys so much. That's my peak from Comedy Sports. We have a little mini break, and then we will be back. This is Jen B. I'm filling in for Justin Kaufman here on WGN 720 AM.